Gotta love that. Okay. Well, a couple, a few more turkey jokes, and then we'll get to some seriousness here. Okay. What did the turkey do or say to the computer? Google, 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 Google. What did this turkey say before it was roasted? I'm stuffed. Oh, yeah. Few bad pastor slash dad jokes there. So just for your Thanksgiving pleasure. Well, let's pray. And we're going to look at one of my favorite passages of Scripture today. Lord Jesus, thanks that we can laugh. Thanks that we can just have some fun in church. But also, just, Father, remind us today, as we look at your word, how thankful we are and need to be as we walk through our relationships, as we look at things that promote and things that prevent the gratitude that you would have flow through us today. We just give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9 says this. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the fellow workers, of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. All of Scripture is wonderful. But just to think about being thankful, thankful disciples. Just a little bit of history for us and word study for a couple minutes. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for thankful is yada. It is found over 111 times and means praise or to confess. But the core meaning of yada in the Old Testament is to express some acknowledgement, to express acknowledgement. And in the New Testament, two words for thanksgiving are found in the original Greek, eulogeo and eucharistio. And eulogeo is found 41 times and means to praise, thank someone. And eucharisto means to thank and give thanks. But it almost exclusively denotes thanksgiving toward God, but sometimes indicates thanksgiving between humans. So just a question as we think about thankfulness this morning and this weekend. Is the word thanks just a nice thing to say? Has it become overused in our society? Thanks. Thank you. Sometimes we, you know, even as Canadians, we're known for saying sorry too much, right? I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I wonder, and it can just become a redundant word. Has it lost its meaning? Has thanks lost its true meaning this day, this culture? I wonder. As I think back to our vision statement in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, we base our vision statement as a church on that, and we've been talking about that, taking a little break from that this week to give thanks. But it came back to my mind again as I was thinking this and praying this week. What does Colossians 2, 6, and 7 say to us? So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing. What a picture. We are rooted, we are branching out, we are built up in him. But how are we known? Oftentimes, by our thankfulness, a sign of a disciple of Jesus. The attitude of gratitude, though, these days seems in short supply. How do we increase that? What does that look like? Well, Let's first look at what prevents gratitude. So there's two words today, prevent and promote. Pretty easy to remember. What prevents gratitude? What promotes gratitude? So the dictionary defines ingratitude as forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness received. Don't you find it tough to be around ungrateful people? Man, oh man, it's tough. Oftentimes, discord follows people of ingratitude. My mother once had a boss she worked for that was very ungrateful. It was very hard for her to work for that boss. Any of you relate? Do you ever had a boss that you worked for that was very ungrateful? Very hard to get along with people when they don't seem to see what you're doing or are grateful for anything. I had a friend at one point in time in my life that was a very ungrateful person. He didn't stay my friend for very long. Let's just say that, right? Ungrateful people are really hard to be around. Well, we can all relate to these types of relationships. And we see here in Philippians chapter 4, oftentimes ungratefulness is spawned by pride. You're the only person, or that ungrateful person is a very small package, right? They often look inward rather than outward. In order to be thankful for something or to someone, you have to look outside. We have to look outside ourselves, don't we? Very simple. Thanksgiving and other times of the year can be tough when there is discord, when there is things that are happening in relationships. It's hard to be thankful when there's discord, isn't there? It's hard to be thankful when relationships just aren't getting along. We see this being the case in the Philippian church. For Paul to mention something of significance like this, that there was a relationship between these two ladies, and it wasn't going well. For him to make an impassioned plea for reconciliation means something to us and should stand out to us in this passage. Not really sure. Maybe some of you Bible scholars and theologians of great acclaim in the congregation here today could tell me why these two ladies were fighting. I have yet to find out the answer to that. If you happen to know the answer to that, you can talk to me after the service. But I have some guesses. I have some Holy Spirit guesses that I could make into this fight, this disagreement that was taking place in the Philippian church. And I'll put those forward today. We need to think about, for a moment, again, pride. These two ladies here were very helpful, Paul says, in helping him in his ministry. He says, help these women who contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Contended. They were fellow workers with Paul for the gospel. But there was a problem that took place. There's some issue that got in there and kind of wrecked things. One thing that stuck out to me as I read these first two verses, or the first three verses of chapter 4, is that last bit in chapter, or verse 3 of chapter 4. It says, whose names are in the book of life? Whose names are in the book of life? Where does that appear in the Gospels? Well, it appears in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, right after what happened. Well, it was a big spiritual warfare thing where the disciples were casting out demons in Jesus' name and healing in Jesus' name. And they came and they're like, isn't it great? Isn't it awesome that we have all this power? Whoa, Jesus said, hold on to your socks for a second. You know, don't think that you are the best thing since sliced bread. No. Don't rejoice that the demons submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Perspective. So as I think about this scripture and I think about this argument that took place between these two sisters and the Lord, maybe they were promoting themselves more than they were promoting Jesus. Or promoting Jesus in a selfish, motivational way. Just a thought. Christ's power working out of us should not outweigh our positional focus in Christ. Christ's power working out of us should not outweigh our positional focus in Christ. When power outweighs position, then self-promotion soon follows. If we don't acknowledge every moment of every day who we are in Christ, rather than what Christ's power can do through us, we're in dangerous territory. We need to be careful. And there are many throughout evangelical Christianity. Sometimes you can turn on the TV and notice some of these individuals that are more self-promoters than Savior promoters. On TV, on your satellite dishes, beware of these people. Be careful, right? They are more focused on the power that's working through them than the position that they hold in Christ. And we can all fall into the same trap, right? So we just need to be aware of that. Another question that came to my mind as I thought about Yoda and Sinki and what just prevents gratitude. The names Martha and Mary come to my mind. And maybe these ladies had the same problem. I don't know. I'm open to the Spirit and what he wants to reveal here, if he reveals anything. But we need to be careful that we're not just focused on the work of the gospel instead of the worth of the gospel. The work of the gospel is good. We need to be going out. We need to be making disciples. But what was Jesus' kind of correction to Martha? Well, don't worry so much about what's going on, all the different work and all that's happening. Sometimes we love to work for the gospel, but sometimes we, in the midst of our work, we get defined by that work instead of by the worth that we have as individuals. And that can prevent our gratitude at times. We say, look how good I am. To neglect thankfulness, William Mount says, to God is to forget his benefits and fall prey to the antithesis of covenantal faithfulness, namely idolatry. Well, there's a lot of words in there that maybe are a little too large for us this morning. But to forget basically being thankful. If we are not thankful as believers, then the whole relationship with Jesus can be compromised. Not saying we lose our salvation, but the outworking of the joy of the Lord doesn't become our strength. It just isn't there. We ignore it. That relational quality of who we are in Christ is diminished. There's a diminishment of our relationship if gratitude is not something that is forthcoming in our lives. So what promotes gratitude? What promotes? Well, have you ever met a very thankful and very gracious person? Yes. And isn't there just an attractiveness to that kind of person? That you want to be around them, you want to be like them at times? I know I've met such people. My father was one of them. They just exude an attitude that says, you know what? I'm thankful to Jesus. I am depending on him for my every breath. I need him. And I'm so grateful to him for what I do every day. This thankfulness, just to give a historical biblical perspective, goes back into the covenantal laws of our faith, of the Judaic faith. We see this in Leviticus 7, 11, and 12, which says this. These are the regulations for the fellowship offering anyone may present to the Lord. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of finest flour well kneaded with oil mixed in. And Psalm 50 verse 14 refers to this as well. Sacrifice thank offerings to the Lord, to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Well, ultimately, Jesus fulfilled that thank offering. He fulfilled it. And for that, we are to be eternally grateful, always grateful. We are to be overflowing with thankfulness because of what Jesus did for us. And that is the ultimate promotion of gratitude, is Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our thank offering. He is our fellowship offering. We have fellowship with God because of Jesus. We have relationship with God, our Father, because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. That should, in itself, I know it's an elementary, basic Christian truth, but today we need to be thankful and grateful for that, that we can boldly approach the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need because of Christ. We can have that relationship with him. He's made a way for us. So what else promotes gratitude? Well, you see there, gratitude begets gratitude. Oftentimes when we are thankful, others will be thankful as well. Even this week, we hosted a Canadian Baptist of Western Canada meeting here in this church, Southern Baptist pastors getting together. And as we were leaving, what happened? Thanks, Joseph, for hosting. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Former Pastor Dennis Stone sends his gratitude for us hosting these meetings. Thank you. So when you say thanks, oftentimes that gratitude is returned. What promotes gratitude? Well, having a constant, focused prayer connection with Jesus. We see this in this passage. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." When we've been thankful to God, when we've been in his presence, when we've been praying to him and releasing our burdens or releasing the things that maybe we're not so thankful for, gratitude begins to permeate our mind and heart, doesn't it? I know it does for me. That even when all around us is falling apart, when kids are screaming at us, when cancer diagnosis comes, whatever it may be, fill in the blank in your life, the troubles, things that create anxiety, maybe there's relational issues within our families, within our areas of friendship. When we pray and we are rejoicing, when we are remembering what God has done, our problems seem to shrink and our gratitude seems to rise, right? Thanksgiving is directed toward God for the past, what Christ has done for us. Think about that, the work of Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving erupts out of us because of Christ. We've talked about that already. What else? Paul, if you read all of his letters, he gives thanks for what? The faithfulness of the saints. I'm thankful for every one of you here today because of your faithfulness. When I hear stories, and I heard some stories of faithfulness in the meetings this week, and I received a little Connections magazine this week from the CBWC, and I was just so thankful for a pastor, an Iranian pastor in Vancouver, BC, who's seen 120 new members join his church in the last 8 months, and they're all baptized. Isn't that something we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus? And he's just planted another church in the Lower Mainland. When you hear what God is doing in the lives of people, wow, thankfulness, that adds to our gratitude for what he is doing in the present. When we see obedience, when we see people, when you walk out in what God has done for you and seeing faith deepen, that just feeds gratitude for me as a pastor, as a leader, as a parent, right? When you see your kids grasping a concept that you've been trying to get through their thick skulls for 10 years or whatever it is, right? You're like, hallelujah, thank you, woohoo, right? And you know, there's so much gratitude, even though there's so much effort that you have to put in, but in the end, thankfulness comes in the present as reflected in obedient love of faith. And thankfulness also comes for the future. For the future. Just had a scripture come to me. I'm just going to look it up here really quick. Thank you, Lord. Titus chapter 2 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions." Again, that's the faithfulness, the obedience piece. "To live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." The blessed hope. There's a future hope that we have that gives us gratitude today and helps us to say no to ungodliness, to these things of this life, because Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. What a wonderful hope we have. That should feed our gratitude. That life now on this planet is not the way it was intended to be. And we can be very ungrateful for that. We can complain about that. We can say, look at this, and we can wallow in the mire of what immoral things are happening in our world today. And we need to be aware of some of those things, but if they control us, if they start to, you know, get us down, then we need to be aware that and keep a good focus on the gauges of our spirituality, so to speak. If the check engine light's going on, if the oil is a little low, right? Just to give you a picture, maybe our attitude of gratitude needs a little bit of recalibration, just a little bit, to refocus. Maybe we're watching the nightly news too much. When they say, "Good evening, folks," and then they tell you for the rest of the half hour how not good it is, right? Well, for the future, we have hope. We have a hope. Jesus is going to consummate his kingdom one day. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? Thanksgiving, folks, defines the covenant community as God-centered. Thanksgiving shows our dependence on God. That is how we promote that we aren't ourselves. We're not our own gods. We're not our own. We are bought at a price. So honor God. Right? Moving into a little bit further into the Philippians passage. Thanksgiving is promoted, gratitude is promoted through right thinking. Right focused thoughts. What does it say here in verse 8? "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." In a world where truth is not central anymore, when we think of the truth of who Jesus is, that needs to bring gratitude to our hearts, to our minds. When we think on these things, we think on true things, noble things, right things, pure things, lovely things, admirable things, excellent and praiseworthy, all of these things. Much like looking out this past week, my wife showed me a picture of the pink sky. I think it was Monday morning. If you were out and saw that. Seeing God's creation, seeing his wonder, his awe, who he is, as displayed in our world around us, to me that evokes thanksgiving. That evokes gratitude. That gives us a picture of something that's bigger than ourselves. Things that are noble, when someone does an act that is selfless, that puts themselves for last and puts others first. Kind of that noble, that chivalrous kind of focus that is lacking in our world today. things that are right, a rightness, a rudder, a standard. When we see people standing up for that standard in our world today, we can think on that. Things that are pure. When we think on things that are pure, what a wonderful thought. Makes me think of the Gaither song, this little child can face tomorrow because of Christ's resurrection. Those aren't the exact words, but we think of that purity, the purity of a child, the purity of the faith of a child, and how that helps us to be grateful to God. Pure love, things that are lovely. That's why I know a lot of you love gardening. There's just a beauty in being in the soil, something lovely, seeing things created. There's those of you who are builders, things that are well built, things that are lovely. God's love comes to mind. That perfect love, it casts out fear, casts out anxiety, casts out the desire to take back control. How many of you have admired something this week or admired somebody? Admirable. Things that are admirable. Excellence. We love to see people do things that are excellent, things that are just of pure excellence, and then praiseworthy. We've seen that this morning and each Sunday and each day of the week. Is there something you can find that's praiseworthy? Do you know what? This very passage here relates, as we all know, passages interpret one another. We read later on in this same chapter these words. Verse 12, the latter half. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. How did Paul learn that secret? Well, by thinking on things that were pure, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. No matter where he found himself, no matter what situation he found himself in, and the same is for us today, no matter where we are, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will remind us of these praiseworthy, excellent things. And gratitude will be the result. The root of contentment is gratitude. The root of contentment is gratitude. And that doesn't mean that our situations change. But Paul learned the secret of that. And if your mind is focused somewhere, you know, the greatest battlefield in this world is not the Middle East. The greatest battlefield in this world today is our minds. What we think on. Did you hear me, church? The greatest battlefield for our contentment, the greatest battlefield for our gratitude is our minds. What you think, there's that old, I think it was Aristotle who said, I think, therefore I am. He wasn't too far off. We need to be thinking on things that are excellent, praiseworthy. That doesn't mean that doubts won't assail us. That doesn't mean things won't come. Do we ever think that even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the garden, he says, not my will, but yours be done. When pain is in our front mirror, oftentimes gratitude is in our rearview mirror. Are we ever thankful for the pain and the problems that we go through? Let's be honest, church. I think every single hand would be going up saying, no, I'm not grateful for that. I'm not thankful for pain at some point in time. But I think sometimes we do need to be grateful for those things. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, for a little while you will have to suffer trials of many kinds so that your faith may be proved genuine. Those trials refine us and help us to see and to form the image of Jesus Christ in our lives. So the ultimate picture of gratitude is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate picture. How many of you have ever been to the Alamo? Anyone been down to Texas to the Alamo? Oh, a few of you. You may have seen a picture down there in San Antonio, Texas. There's an inscription that says, James Butler Boham's picture was never taken. But here's a picture of his nephew, who is an exact representation of James Butler. There's no literal portrait of Jesus Christ. There's lots of portraits out there of what we think he looks like, Middle Eastern man. But when we have an attitude such as Christ's, when we have a mindset such as Christ's, the world will see Jesus. The world will see Jesus through us. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Do people see us when they think of FCBC, when they think of you and I as people, does the first thing they think of is overflowing with thankfulness? Our world needs more thankfulness. Our world needs more gratitude. We are a covenant people. We are a people of relationship with Jesus. He's made that covenant for us by his shed blood and his resurrected body. We need to be thankful. Desire for that. Disciples of Jesus, thankful disciples, are what is going to draw people to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this Sunday that we can think on and meditate on gratitude. Father, increase that in us. Father, to have that desire to not put ourselves first, but to put others first, to show our dependence upon you through our gratitude to others. Father God, I am so thankful for everyone who's gathered here today and those who are not here. Grateful for the family of God, that we can come together and learn more of you, that we can draw close to you. Father, I pray if anyone is here struggling today to think of something they're thankful for or someone, that I lift those people up to you. Father, if there is people here, if there is discord in any relationships, Father, that can very easily prevent gratitude. Father, I pray for those people that you have called us to be ministers, that are reconcilers, that are drawing others to yourself, to be an image of Jesus that promotes gratitude and not prevents it. Father, forgive us where we have prevented gratitude from being part of our DNA as a church and our DNA as believers, as individuals, and in our families. Forgive us, Lord. Draw us to yourself, I pray, that gratitude would be something that deeply affects us, that you would help us not to be anxious, to be filled with anxiety, that, Lord Jesus, that I pray for our minds right now. I pray for the thoughts going through everyone's head right now that you know, Father, before even one of them comes to be. There is a battle for our minds. We commit our minds to you, commit our thought life to you, that we would take captive every in or ungracious thought and make it obedient to Christ. Help us, Lord, to be that the gratitude would start in our minds and flow out of our beings, flow out of us as words and actions that reflect our Savior, the relationship we have, that we would be that relational, covenantal community of faith that says, thank you, Jesus. I just need you right now to overcome every aspect of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my friends, my brothers and sisters in the Lord today. And as we gather around tables, maybe I've already gathered around tables of food to be grateful for the bounty you've given to us, that there would be a special touch of your Spirit to encourage our minds and hearts today to reflect upon something that we can be thankful for. And to write that down, Father, maybe there's someone we need to phone this week. Say thank you. Maybe there's someone we need to text right now and say thank you. Or we need to walk across the aisle after this service is done and say thank you for something. So we just commit all of this to you, and that you would increase in us the attitude of gratitude so that the world will see more of you, Jesus. It's in your powerful and gracious name. Amen.